Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Good, Mike, good.
We have a poem this week that is near and dear to my heart. It asks the question, do pharmaceutical promotion items affect attitudes towards the medications they advertise?
Probably affect you, Mike, but not me. I can't be bought like that.
Well, you'd be surprised how many people agree with that philosophy. I know you're joking, but there is an article that I've read recently. It refers to a physician, a professor of medicine. Actually, his title is American Cancer Society Professor of Medicine at Harvard University. His name is Tom Stossel, and he started an organization just recently called the Association of Clinical Researchers and Educators, and its abbreviation is ACRE. And they are opposed to all of what they believe is political correctness around industry-medical relationships. He calls it gobbledygook and says that, that industry and academics need to coincide, they need to be with each other, and the fact that these are conflicts of interest is just nonsense. Now,
sounds like that ACRE is full of manure.
It is full of manure, and he high on his hit list is Senator Grassley of Iowa, who's made the most noise on the crusade against conflicts of interest. He seems to not mention or not care about the psychiatrist Biederman at Harvard, who received a $1.6 million from companies to promote drugs that he used to treat bipolar disease. He is obviously in Massachusetts and takes great exceptions with laws in Vermont that were passed that say that doctors need to publicly disclose the amount of money that they've been given and the amount of gifts. Minnesota requires pharmaceutical companies to report payments to doctors, and Massachusetts, in his home state, limits the kind and amounts of gifts that healthcare providers can receive. The president's task force has looked at this, the NIH has looked at this, and the Institute of Medicine have looked at this. Bernie Lowe, a big researcher out here in California, says, quote, in medical research, there are numerous documented examples of bias in research design and reporting associated with industry sponsorship of clinical trials. Furthermore, in clinical care, there are studies suggesting that the use of drug samples and attendance at drug company presentations is clearly associated with prescribing that's inconsistent with evidence-based practice guidelines. That's from the Institute of Medicine. So he clearly is out on one limb. These researchers published their study in the Archives of Internal Medicine. What did they find about these small trinkets?
Well, yeah, you look around the typical office, and you're going to see lots of pens and other items scattered around, and they've got drug names or logos on them, and, I still find them in my pockets and at home, and it's just hard to avoid. We generally don't even think we notice them anymore, but does that mean that they aren't doing their job of keeping the drug's name at the top of your mind? So to evaluate this, the researchers recruited over 300 third and fourth year medical students at two medical schools, and the students were randomized to a group that got subtle exposure to promotional items or to a group that didn't get any such exposures. The students were told they were enrolling in a study about clinical decision-making, and while they were signing in and completing forms for the study, the students in the promotion group were exposed to Lipitor logos on the clipboard and the notepaper, kind of a cute way of exposing them there during the enrollment process. Both groups were then asked to fill out a computer-based questionnaire, including the implicit association test, which is a way of measuring attitudes toward consumer products. They were also asked explicitly, what were their attitudes about the superiority or preference or efficacy and safety of Lipitor, which was the drug on the clipboards, as compared with Zocor, obviously a competitor. study was done at two medical schools. One school prohibited gifts, meals, and samples, and the other had an open policy about drug promotion. The fourth-year medical students exposed to the Lipitor promotion at the open policy medical school generally had more favorable attitudes toward Lipitor. The effect was actually reversed at the other med school where they didn't allow such promotion. There was no effect observed among third-year students, though. They just hadn't been on the wards long enough maybe to get all these repeated exposures and messages. Overall, students explicitly preferred Lipitor, regardless of whether they had brief exposure to promotional items. Students at the no-promotion school had less favorable attitudes towards the pharmaceutical marketing. So, you know, when you say cholesterol, what's the first drug that pops into your head? And look around. Is there a pen or a notepad or a trinket that has that drug name or logo on your desk? In this study, the fourth-year students at a school that allowed marketing had more favorable implicit attitudes toward a drug when they were exposed to brief marketing. And if a med school didn't allow it, it was the opposite.
Right. You know, it is interesting. At the medical school that I'm at, we've implemented a policy against any detailing or pharmaceutical trinkets or trivia anywhere. You know, there's not to be anybody in the building and no. And it really has had a relatively profound effect. The only negative has been that we've not been able to control what residents do in their off hours, and they're still being invited for dinners and mm-hmm. and basketball games and the like. But it really, this makes a great deal of sense to me. And perhaps the bottom line is that, you know, these trinkets are not free. They cost money. Someone's paying for them. And, you know, given these tight times, the pharmaceutical companies just are not going to pay for them unless there's good evidence that they make a difference.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a very rich body of literature. This is only one of many studies. And there's actually a lot of literature and sort of cognitive science and psychology looking at the effect of gift giving, and really it's not the size of the gift. That really has relatively little impact and can sometimes even be counterproductive. It really, small gifts, you know, can create that relationship and create that influence as much as larger ones can. And so I think people say, well, it's just a pen or it's just a pad or it's just a, you know, a book or it's just something else. But you know, it does, I think the literature is really clear that it does have an effect, not just on doctors, but on anyone who is receiving these gifts.
Right. I think they call it, the concept is called reciprocity, and the idea is you've given them something and they need to do something back in exchange. Mm-hmm. But I am going to remind my wife, it's my anniversary, that it's not the size of the gift.
It's your anniversary. Wouldn't
exactly.
That be hers too?
It is both of ours. Yeah. Anyways, Mark, thanks. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.